You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, what's up, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode four of the Low Mid Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Huey Revolution. And here with me, as always, is my two homies and, business partners. Start on my right with
Ramil, what's up, man?
And on my left, we got
Young. I was finna say something funny, but yeah, it's your boy Nemo. We in here chilling.
All right. So we got a real good show lined up for you guys today. We're going to start with the trending topics of the week. Then we're going to get into our top three list of the day, which is
top three movies.
Hard ass list.
This one was hard. We had to narrow this down for a good 2 weeks.
Yeah. I like figured out my third one this morning.
I figured out my third one. Yeah. This morning too. Like as we're at the internship and shit.
Okay. Like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. And then after that, we got our show and tell topics, and then we got a album review, Quadeca voice memos for you guys. So stick around for all of those things. You know what I'm saying? Let's just jump right into it. Unfortunately, the first story that we're going to talk about today is very sad.
Is calling it one of the nation's darkest days. A gunman attacked two mosques while hundreds of Muslims were praying.
The man who is claiming responsibility and charged with murder is an extreme right-wing white supremacist who live-streamed the attack, saying it was aimed at immigrants. So here's what we know right now. At least 49 people were killed, 48 more wounded, multiple IEDs discovered attached to vehicles, and three people are now in custody.
Jeez. What also makes this incident particularly interesting is that he live-streamed it for 19 minutes. And in addition to that, according to ABC News, the country of New Zealand has never seen a terrorist attack before that.
Really?
Day. Yeah.
Wow.
That's actually surprising.
Fucking
oh, and another fact that I looked up when I was looking at him and, you know, them bringing him into the court because they believe that he enacted this by himself. He threw up a white nationalist hand symbol in court. So, yeah, he's not an extremist. He's a white supremacist. He's a terrorist, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's a legitimate terrorist.
And we have to like emphasize that because the media is covering it as a shooting, yeah. Not really a
terrorist
attack.
There have been some media sources that have been highlighting it as a shooting in their titles and stuff, and not, you know, there's something that gives more gravity to it when you call it like it is, like white supremacist terrorist, not
white
just
supremacist
like
terrorist.
A shooter, the shooter, the
because they keep it so vague when they do that, you know what I'm saying?
Because a shooting could be anything.
Yeah,
like the gun,
the shooter,
be a shooter, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, nah, paint him the same way you would paint anybody else,
and the same way he's painting himself, throwing up white supremacist hand symbols in court.
Did y'all know that I think they blurred his face in the mugshot, but it was reported that he was smiling during the mugshot when he threw up that white supremacist symbol
on some Melly shit. Oh no.
Of course.
Like, you know what I'm saying? He don't give a fuck about none of the shit he just did. Like, I heard that
continue.
I heard that as he was like, as the body count was rising while he live streamed it, with people on his live stream celebrating that
of
shit
course.
So
of course, in addition to that, New Zealand has immediately announced that they're going to be tightening their gun laws because he was a registered gun owner. So the guns he used, he purchased them legally, which is something else I did not know.
Yeah.
In addition to that, he also wrote a manifesto about the incident and
mailed that to
certain people of importance ahead of time.
The shooter, who appears to have been from Australia, is linked to a 74-page manifesto filled with white supremacist rhetoric.
In the manifesto, he's just talking about why he's going to do this, like how he feels about Muslims and immigrants and, you know, all this
that's
shit.
What I was going to ask. I was going to ask, okay, so what exactly was it? A manifesto is just like a proclamation of what you're going to do.
A manifesto, it's kind of like it's like writing out your ideology.
Okay, like, and your reasoning for why you're about to do what you're about to do, basically.
Because, like, Ted Bundy,
mm-hmm.
Ted Krasinski, he has a manifesto, and that's him talking about how he thinks that the world should just be complete and utter, how do I say it? What's anarchy? And so that's like, you know, he's writing about why he believes certain things. And, you know, it's just horrible, man, that this shit is going on so frequently nowadays. And then on such a cataclysmic scale,
yeah,
to where it's like
at a church, at a mosque,
at two mosques, like three miles apart.
Yeah, 2 miles apart. Yeah, I forgot it was two mosques.
It's just extremely sad.
So wait, did he just literally kill these people because they were Muslim?
At 1:42 p.m. local time, witnesses say a man dressed all in black entered the Masjid Al Noor Mosque, shooting an automatic weapon.
People were running out. I saw some people had blood on.
That's pretty much like on a general scale. He killed them because of
who they were.
Of no other reason, just because of their religion.
They're Muslim,
practice.
And he said something about immigrants or some shit like that.
That's
and you got Trump trying to build a wall, trying to keep the country safe. And you got...
And you, people that are members of the country are doing this shit.
Exactly. The people that you are trying to keep out are the ones that are being attacked.
He is Australian. The guy that did this is Australian.
Oh, he's Australian?
He was not a member of the city of which it took place, but he's Australian. Like, he... You know,
this global. He's a Leia. He's an international white supremacist.
that's so fucking disgusting.
And yeah, so like all three of us, we just want to give like our prayers and condolences to the families and the people affected by this horrible tragedy.
For sure.
You know, that shit just.
How do you even comprehend this level of insanity and cruelness and heartlessness? Like,
bro, I
literally can't comprehend it. Like, it's just I read it and it's I can't even process
bro,
it.
Imagine like. It's so horrible. Like, imagine there are family members that are still trying to hear back word, like, oh, was my child or
yeah,
husband
father,
or spouse affected?
Whoever. Yeah.
Seeing this clip of this guy talk about how his wife ran up to him with blood on her shirt, talking about what happened. And it's just...
Over the past couple of years, if y'all have noticed, like, it's just been like, it seemed like it's been like one of these big shootings every year, ever since the Dylann Roof thing. Mm-hmm. Like, just... By white supremacists in general, because it was the Dylann Roof thing. I believe that came first, and then it was you remember that in the Florida club, that gay club that got shot up by that terrorist, same guy, same type of guy. And then now in New Zealand at a church, at two mosques. At these religious institutions that people are getting killed at. People come here to pray and to worship their beliefs and you're getting killed.
Shit.
Or supposedly. And now it's like, bro, you can't even go to a fucking religious institution without getting shot?
Oh, and yeah, there was also issued for anyone who's a Muslim not to go to a mosque until they hear back word from the, I think the chiefs over that area.
Just over there?
From the government. Yeah, over there they were saying... You know, imagine how fucked up that is.
Exactly. Like, you're
like you can't even go to the mosque until the government tells you, like, okay, we think the situation is under control. And they're going to start putting more police out on the streets and just everywhere.
Because,
of course, you know.
Yeah. And it's like, if I'm not mistaken, like, I think New Zealand, it was this girl I used to know that used to go to Georgia State who's from Europe and stuff like that. And I think this applies to New Zealand as well. I'm not sure, but I believe that you know how the police operate here.
Guns over there.
Yeah, like the New Zealand kind of whole energy is not gun centric like it is here. You know what I'm saying? It's not so pro gun over there where they feel like they have to carry firearms because usually it's supposed to be considered generally a safe place where you don't need that kind of shit. Yeah. But now after this incident, where 50 people got killed in two mosques, and it's like now they're taking more measures for security purposes now because it's like, dang, now we have to be kind of more gun savvy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Here's a statement from AP News. New Zealand, a country so peaceful that police officers rarely carry guns.
That's it was New Zealand.
The deadliest shooting in modern New Zealand history.
Because apparently, yeah, like you said, in that code, they just don't have a lot of gun issues over there.
Yeah, peaceful. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
fuck, man. Just, fuck that guy forever, bro.
For real,
like,
man.
Oh my gosh, bro. Like, you need, like, he's the
I'm
worst kind of human being.
Immediately able to get him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if anybody else was involved with this, I hope they immediately get them too. And I hope they are prosecuted to the fullest extent.
I think he needs. I don't know what their judicial system is like, but if they
Give
have
his ass the fucking chair.
I'm about to say, yeah, if they have like a death penalty, I believe he should get the death penalty.
Fuck
him forever.
You know what I'm saying? Like, horrible. Condolences out to the family members. Just some sad news, but you know.
You got any extra thoughts on it, Emo?
It's just really disgusting. Like. How this is even still a thing,
right?
You know, and the fact that he's live streaming it.
I'm saying
as well that just adds
like bragging to, about the shit,
and then that just adds on to like this savage twist of the whole fucking tale. Like,
yeah,
like come on, nigga.
And
like,
then will people start now maybe opening their eyes to the to like. Crap. Well, forget what I was going to say there. Let me reorganize my words. They usually call like Muslims the terrorists. And then look at what's happened.
Yeah, look at, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
If this was a Muslim guy and he did a shooting on two churches, what do you think he would
called? I would have been, it would have been war on Muslims again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which they're already,
is already, but
a way to spin this to make them look bad. Like, it's just like, come on. People are praying in peace. Like, can they just, it's just fucked up.
It's just, man. This situation just has so many parallels to the damn De La Rue situation. And it's like, I think it's like a specific reason they're picking religious institutions. Cause if you, like, from a shooter standpoint, you're thinking like, there's not going to be any arms of defense at a religious institution.
Yeah.
Which there should be. But now you think at a church, people are in a peaceful mood. They're praying. There's positive energy. And you go up there and you fuck it all up if you go in and shoot everybody.
Because now there's probably going to have to be into it.
Yeah.
You would think you wouldn't because, like, oh, this is just a peaceful spot. Like,
nah.
There's not, like, you know, we come here to pray and respect one another and stuff like that. But, yeah. Hopefully. Just, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It's just sad. But prayers out to everyone involved in that situation. And yeah.
Yeah, just condolences to the people who are affected. And yeah. I wish them
the best.
The best.
The very best.
Yeah. Okay.
So
let's move on to the next topic, which is
Russell Westbrook in this past week. So if you don't know, Russell Westbrook was involved in an incident with three other Jazz fans, three other white Jazz fans. Let me be specific.
How it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate.
So naturally, Russell Westbrook, as he should have, reprimanded both of them and said,
I'll fuck him up. He said,
situation, it just shows how, like, people that are fans and they think they can just talk to celebrities and athletes any kind of way, and they think that just because you're like, you have this label of being an athlete or a celebrity, that you won't respond back or that you can't respond back or whatever. Nigga, fuck that. At the end of the day, you're a human. You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouted some disrespectful shit. It was racially motivated. It was racist for you to say it, and you knew it was racist.
Yeah. The Jazz banned Kiesel after reviewing video from last night's game and interviewing witnesses. They wrote in part, the ban is based on excessive and derogatory verbal abuse directed at a player. The Utah Jazz will not tolerate fans who act inappropriately.
I think Russell got fined.
Wasn't it like 25K or
which is like I've taken a penny out of a dollar for him. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think he got fined like 25K.
For doing what?
For
threatening them?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just engaging them and stuff like that. Because that's his professional setting.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? He's at work, essentially. He's at work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his workplace. So, you know, you can't really have him, like, conducting himself like that, even though all of us feel like he was justified in what he said. Yeah. And then, so the fan, they got banned. And then another fan got banned for life, too, by calling him boy during the same incident.
They got banned for life?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They called him boy. And y'all know that's a term that they use for grown black men coming up in the South and in America in general. Even if you're 85 years old, they call you a boy. So that's very disrespectful.
Yeah. Emasculate you.
Yeah, exactly. So, my whole thoughts on it basically is just like Russell Westbrook. I of course I'm on his side naturally, because I felt like he just, what is he supposed to do in a situation? Like I understand the side of, yeah, this is your workplace and you have to conduct yourself a certain way. And maybe he could have handled it differently, but from a humanistic standpoint and as a man and with your pride and ego,
as a
black man, especially, you know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, like it hits a different nerve. You know what I'm saying? It hit a damn different nerve.
Yeah, you know that he was just fucking pissed off.
You know what I'm saying?
He's at, and then it's a he's at his professional environment, and people are coming to him yelling this type of shit at him. So, like, obviously that's going to piss him off. Yeah. And I'm glad he clarified in the interview. You said, like, you know, that he's not finna hit no woman. Cause,
you know what I'm saying?
Because, you know, I'm quite sure he didn't mean that.
Yeah.
He said he didn't. He was just, you know, in the heat of the moment, people are saying, get back on your knees like you used to and shit like that. Like, you're just going to yell some shit that you may not mean. You're just pissed off, you know?
Yeah.
So, and, yeah.
And I think, like, also, like, in that, like, when he said, like, yeah, I didn't ever think that he meant he was going to hit his wife. I think people just kind of, like, took that on face value. Because it's kind of like, when he said you and your wife, like, he's talking to you and your wife. Like, I think that's what he was, like, trying to convey. But then he said it right after he said that line. So it was kind of like, oh, people thought that he was going to beat up his wife, too.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm glad he did clarify that, though, because that could have been, that could have pulled people away from his side and just been like, oh, no, he's a woman beater. It could have turned into a whole thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, man, like, that was bullshit. I'm glad the fan got banned for life.
Me too, yeah.
And, like, that's just, you know, and I've heard, I've read vaguely in that area, like, in that community, there's been a history of, like, Donovan Mitchell, even the star of the team that is in the city, has, like, reported people yelling racial slurs at him and, like, being disrespectful towards him. And he plays for the fucking team. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, as black athletes especially, you know, going back to the days of Jackie Robinson, we've always had to deal with people talking shit to us and, like, being racist towards us and, you know, in the area of sports. Yeah, and being, and, like, bro, it's like people are paying to see you, not even see you, but like as just in principle as an NBA player, people pay to come see you play. And it's like they just feel like they have the right to disrespect you because they pay for a ticket. And it's like, bro, I'm a human being first. You know what I'm saying? I'm not no fucking like experiment that you're just coming to watch. Like, I'm not a robot. You know what I'm saying? I'm a human being with feelings and I have emotions and shit. And like, that shit was fucked up. I'm glad they got fined and got some consequences behind that.
That shit's unacceptable in 2019. Like, yeah, ban them niggas for life.
You dig?
Exactly.
Straight up.
Next, we got a pretty big topic in the sports world. Another one. Of course, I'm talking about the Odell trade.
Breaking news from the NFL, a blockbuster involving Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants have agreed to trade their star wide receiver to the Browns for a first round pick, the 17th overall in next month's draft, as well as a third round pick and Jabril Peppers, the 25th overall pick in 2017. Odell Beckham.
Big shit.
Big shit. Now, for those of you that don't really care about sports,
like me,
like Huey, but it's good, bro. We're gonna make you care today.
Let me explain why this is significant in the sports world. So,
fuck you,
damn, nigga.
No, I'm fucking. So, like, in this day and age, Odell is considered one of the top five wide receivers in the league, right?
Do you consider him that?
Yeah,
he's top three or top five, bro?
He's top five.
He's top five?
Top five, not top three.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, not yet, at least. So the fact that he's going to a team like the Browns is mind-boggling. And let me explain where the Browns came from. So the Browns, they're literally like the worst team in the league for history. They've just been on the bad end of the stick for decades. Like, they haven't won a championship in over 60 years. That's before the Super Bowl was even.
I thought it was 1989.
No, that's the last time they went to the AFC Conference Championship.
And the last time they made the playoffs general was like 2003, right?
Yeah, 2003, 16 years ago. So these niggas,
goddamn, these niggas was ass. These niggas are ass.
Yeah, and plus they also had the whole thing where their fucking team moved and became the Ravens, and then they had to remake the Browns.
Okay. Yeah.
And when they remade the Browns, they weren't even the same Browns. They were just trash.
Yeah.
They're even worse.
Yeah. So now we're finally starting to see some progression with the new Browns, because last year was the first time in a long time where they even got some superstar players to come there, because whenever they would try to get them, they were not really fucking with it. And by superstar, I mean superstar NFL players, not superstar college players.
Mm-hmm.
So now that OBJ is coming back, and back to the stars that they got. They got one of the stars they got last year was Jarvis Landry.
Big time receiver.
Bro. Yeah. And Jarvis Landry and Odell, they went to the same college.
LSU.
Yeah. So they were teaching each other how to perfect the one-handed catch. So now that they're about to come back and like do all this, basically the Browns are about to be fired. They got Baker Mayfield at quarterback.
Straight up.
And he's a Heisman Trophy winner, a Heisman Trophy that's basically MVP of college football.
Yeah.
So
I know what that is.
Like, don't disrespect me like that.
But for the people that don't know, that's what it is. And so what I'm trying to say is the Browns,
they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're going
to
be fine.
People are predicting that they'll go to the Super Bowl.
They're going
to
win the Super Bowl within the next 5 years.
Wow, okay.
That's how great Odell and Jarvis Landry. Yeah.
And it's not even just off of Odell. It's just
the three of them. They got a big team. Three in football, low-key. Yeah, because it's Jarvis, Odell, and Baker, bro.
And plus, they got many other people. They also got Kareem Hunt. And
He's fired, too.
But he's gonna be out for half of the year because of suspension.
They're going to be 6-0 when he come back.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know because, like, I know the Browns offensively look good, but on the defensive side, I'm not really too
deep. They've been improving on that, too. They got Myles Garrett.
If the defense can just be average, they can go deep into the playoffs, bro. Because OBJ and Jarvis, them niggas are hungry, bro. And Baker, bro, and Baker's only entering his sophomore year, right?
Yeah, this is only second season.
They all young, they all hungry, and they all talented as hell, bro. Like, I think, I don't know, Cleveland could at least go to this divisional, at the very least, bro.
What's the Browns mascot?
A dog, a bulldog or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I'm trying to tell you like that they're a pretty like sad franchise.
I think they were for a long time. they were considered like just generally like if you just had any kind of NFL common sense, you just knew the Browns weren't doing shit that year. You know what I'm saying? You just like they were for a long time considered the worst team in football. It is what it is.
Even when they had like a good season, which was like 2007, they won 10 games, but they didn't even make it to the playoffs.
Yeah. That division was tough as hell. Y'all won 10 games out of 16 and y'all niggas still didn't go. God damn. Yo, like, how does the owner feel? Nigga, we done won 10 games out of 16 and we still ain't going. We still going home. We still got to clean up them damn lockers, nigga. God damn.
All right. Yeah, so what's y'all personal opinion on? Do y'all like the Browns or?
Okay, for me, the Browns have low key been my second favorite team because I'm just so eager to see that rebuild. And now that it's actually happening,
they're like the underdogs coming back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because. Bro, the Browns don't win, bro. So, like, the Browns don't win.
They don't win, bro.
The Browns don't win.
Bro, it's literally a case of them possibly going from zero to hero.
Exactly.
Bro.
That's pretty big for the sports world.
Yeah.
That's like if one of us went from who we are to, like, Jay-Z or some shit.
Well, that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and it's... And let's go back to Odell, because coming from where he was, he came from the New York Giants, and last season...
Trash!
Last season, the Giants were pretty trash. Odell was, like... He was, like, making fun of the quarterback at one point.
Bruh.
Because, like... Keep in mind, their quarterback has won 2 Super Bowls, but last year he was just trash.
Eli should retire.
Yeah, he should retire, but they're not getting a quarterback this year.
Yeah, they're not. So they're stuck with Eli
at this point.
And he has two way in the past Super Bowls. Like these years are not recent. Like they haven't been decent since the second one. And that was like 7-8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I was rooting for them in both those Super Bowls, by the way, because fuck New England.
Fuck the Patriots.
But you feel me? And it's like OBJ, like he became a superstar off that, we all know that one-handed catch.
Yeah.
One of the best catches I've ever seen in my fucking life. And then it's like, and that, bro, it's, you know, it's crazy because in real time, that catch didn't even count. It was a flag on the play, and he still made like one of the greatest catches of all time. So he kind of became a superstar in general from there.
Yeah, so he's making a one-handed catch, falling down while a nigga is tackling him, Huey. That's why this shit is crazy.
And it was three flags thrown on the play.
Three flags, and he does this like every day. He makes a one-handed catch every day. This shit is not easy to do. Like a football is like oblong shape and weird
shit
as hell.
Easy, bro.
He's trademarked the fucking one-handed catch.
I could do that.
He's trademarked the one-handed catch,
yeah,
bro.
Him and Landry.
So. You could do that shit better than Odell, dog.
Yes, bro.
Okay.
Shit. Well, first of all, that wasn't even one-handed catch. He used three fingers to catch the ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, true.
I could do it with two.
Two fingers?
I could do it with one, bro.
Why ain't you on the Browns then, bro? Come on now, nigga. We need to get you on the Browns, nigga. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl.
Finger catch, bro.
Finger catch, bro. That's, and he's done, like, he does that shit. He does do that shit routinely, though. And, like, ever since, I don't know, the Browns, I'm just excited because I'm not going to lie. I am not a Browns fan. I'm an Odell fan. But I'll be rooting for the Browns this season because I want to see Odell get a chip before he retires, at least one.
Yeah.
And plus,
not even
see him get some chips.
Yeah, ships. A chip. Yeah, what's like rings or
rings.
Whatever.
Oh shit. Yeah, you don't know sports talking about a championship, Healy. A championship. I'm sorry, sir.
So some Doritos.
And, but not even about the Browns. Think about the city of Cleveland and how sad their sports history has been.
Well, yeah, up until 2016, they were shitty because exactly. Cleveland, when the Cavaliers won the championship that year, they was lit.
Their only star was LeBron.
LeBron was the most important thing that ever happened to Cleveland in the city's history. Fuck yeah. Sports. What else did you know Cleveland for except for LeBron?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Outside of a couple other musical acts, Cleveland didn't really have much to offer.
So this is really good for Cleveland.
Yeah, the city.
Odell's going to be their new LeBron.
Hopefully.
But the thing is, like, him and Jarvis are both top six like wide receivers.
He said top six for Jarvis Landry.
Ooh. Is he top three or top five?
I'll get into Jarvis Landry.
I would put him at top 15.
Top 15. Well, OBJ could elevate him. Well, the thing is, they'll be such a great like tandem. They'll be such a great tandem, man. Yeah, like it's gonna be like that offense is gonna be must see.
Yeah, because they were best friends in college and they were shitting on people.
Just imagine going to the team with your homie. Y'all both in the league making millions, and now you get traded. No, you didn't pick to go there. You got traded there. Kind of like it's a by chance thing when it's trades and sports. So you got traded there and it's like you walk into the locker room, you see that nigga packing up his shit, and you just like, guess who done walked in the motherfucker room? Like, my nigga came and play with me, dog. Like, this gotta be cool as fuck.
And then think about what the Browns had to give up to even get Odell.
Oh, so what did they give up though?
They gave up a first round draft pick for this year. They gave up a third round draft pick for, I think, next year.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up Jabril Peppers, who is a safety.
Jabril.
And they also took on OBJ's contract, which is not cheap.
It's not. He just got a mega deal, like $80 million or some shit like that.
Yeah, he got a big contract.
That's little money, though.
He's the highest paid receiver in the league.
That ain't shit.
And now the Browns have to
just shit on everything. He was like, fuck it.
So they need to make all these moves come.
They just need to win.
Yeah.
They need their return on the investment will be a Super Bowl ring. Straight up.
So moving on to the top three. We got our top three movies.
Top three movies this week of all time.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh, Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And we're film majors. We watch a lot of fucking movies.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we do.
And we're very different people, so we watch a lot of different movies.
I'd be mad if we all
pick, like, SpongeBob again.
The SpongeBob movie is my favorite fucking movie of all time. Fuck you mean.
The Arthur movie.
Lilo and Stitch the movie.
Lilo and Stitch the movie was just Lilo and Stitch.
Well,
it came out.
Right. Yeah, and then it was Stitch the movie.
Stitch has a glitch.
Stitch has a glitch. Right, which I like that one.
So who wants to go first?
Fuck it, I'll go first.
All right. Number three.
Y'all never heard of this movie. It's called A Neverhood.
A Neverhood?
Sounds like a black version of Peter Pan.
It's a London version of Friday.
A British version of Friday?
Yes.
A British version of Friday called A Neverhood.
Yes. And that movie was fire as fuck to me because that's where I get my slang. That's where I get some of my British slang from. And I guess the fact that it's a London version of something that like we already fucking love.
So what's the plot?
When did it come out?
It came out in 2011. The plot is basically... It's basically this guy. He's a wannabe gangster rapper, right? But he literally only sold three copies his first week. So he
what did he give them to his family?
Three copies. Your mom, dad, sister. I sold three copies, yo.
Believe it or not, those three copies were actually bought by some goons that tried to beat him up at the end.
I'm sorry, man.
But how'd you get all our stuff back, man?
I just climbed in Tyrone's yard, but I just took it, innit? You know what? And that's not all I took.
Listen! Did any of you men see anyone coming in and out of this block? Well?
That KU still.
Kenneth! You let Kenneth in the building! Oh, shit! Kenneth. Fucking Kenneth!
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so basically it's about this guy, he's a wannabe rapper. He's trying to prove that, like, you know, I'm a G, right? And he goes through these obstacles. Like, he tries to, like, he tries to sell weed to make money. I don't want to give it away. That's why I'm stuttering so much.
General outline. What's the heart of the film? Sir?
So he's a struggling rapper who sells weed.
Does it all take place over one day, like Friday?
Not all in one day. All in one weekend, pretty much.
Okay.
So
why did you call it Weekend? The fucking
Weekend.
There actually
weekend.
Is a London movie called The Weekend. That's one of my honorable mentions, to be honest. But I'm surprised I haven't showed y'all this movie because y'all would actually love it. Y'all would love it.
I mean, I'll watch it, shit. And it's, you said, so let's keep this in mind again. This is your top three movie
of all time.
And it came out 8 years ago. Yeah. So this is fairly recent.
Slick.
Kind of.
Wow.
There are some 90s movies I wanted to put on here, but I just couldn't yet.
It's a hard ass list, bro.
A Neverhood.
Yeah, we should check that out.
Yeah, that's A-N-U-V-A Hood. A London version of a Friday.
I
bet. That sounds interesting. Do you want to go second here?
Sure. Fuck it. All right. My third favorite movie of all time is Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee.
Ah, he's cultured as hell. I knew it. He's cultured as shit.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
And you know what was crazy? When I asked you, remember the first time I actually had you seen it? You hadn't seen it at that point.
I hadn't seen it. Yeah. I did not see that movie until I got assigned to, like, it was a part of, like, class.
Yeah.
And
like,
that's how I watched it too.
Were you in that class with me? Or like
No, we didn't watch in that class.
Okay. We didn't watch in the class, but like we had to write a paper on a movies from this list of like 12. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing. I've heard about it, never watched it. Let me watch it. And it was just like, I don't know. It's literally to me one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. It's so relatable to my life, and like even still today, like the themes are still pronounced, like they're still relevant mm-hmm. today.
Can I talk to you for a second? Fina, who's your favorite basketball player?
Magic Johnson.
Who's your favorite movie star?
Eddie Murphy.
Who's your favorite rock star? Prince. You're a Prince
boss. Bruce.
Prince.
Bruce.
Pina, all you ever talk about is nigga this and nigga that. And all your favorite people are so-called niggas.
It's different. Magic, Eddie, Prince are not niggas. I mean, they're not black. I mean, let me explain myself. They're not really black. I mean, they're black, but they're not really black. They're more than black. It's different.
The way it tackles, like, race relations and just navigating through a day in Bed-Stuy, like, it's so, like, specific, but also general. Because, like,
people like us,
we live in, like, a multicultural city, mm-hmm. kind of. That's mostly black people, or at least where we live in the city. And so it's like, yeah, bro, like, you deal with that shit every day, like, dealing with, like, grocery store owners that they're prejudiced against you. You really ain't fucking with them because you know how they be acting and shit. Mm-hmm. Then you got the people that own, like, the pizza store ain't really fucking with you. But you still gotta go there because that's the only place to eat.
Hey, that's fucked. Don't talk about Jess.
And the other guy, what's his name? Farrakhan.
Minister Farrakhan.
Sorry. Minister Farrakhan. Anyway, Minister Farrakhan always talks about the so-called day when the black man will rise. We were one day, what does he say? We were one day rule the earth as we did in our glorious past.
Yeah, that's right.
What past you talking about? What did I miss?
We started civilization.
Man, keep dreaming, man. Then you woke up.
Like the characters, my favorite character was probably Bugging Out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just iconic dude. He has my haircut.
Bugging out.
You remember him?
Which one was he?
He was the dude that was like yelling at Sal about, we need to get some new pictures in this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you don't know what Do the Right Thing is, it's a movie that's about this character named Mookie, and you basically follow him and his like and the people that live in his neighborhood throughout one day in Bed-Stuy, where mm-hmm. but it's like on this particular day race tension is very high. And, you know, it's a hot ass day.
Yeah, I was going to say, the weather played a role into it.
It's just so, like, relatable and, like, grounded mm-hmm. in reality, which it's funny because I usually like movies that are the opposite, like really big fantasy movies. Mm-hmm. But when movies like this are handled well, it just speaks to me, you know?
Yeah. And so, and it really captures that that fucking
day in the life type
shit. Yeah, like it has similar it has similarities to Friday in that regard, because it's like it is yeah, doesn't that take place that kind of takes place all in a day, right?
Yeah, it mm-hmm. takes place in one day. A day, and then the end it's like the morning of the next
yeah.
day.
Yeah, you've seen it, right? Do the Right Thing.
Of course, yeah. It's really good at capturing our culture, especially
yeah.
at that time.
Yeah, especially at that time.
It's crazy, like. And then the thing about it, it's aged so well, and I guess some of this is like, unfortunately,
yeah.
you could like have the same script and just recast everyone and yeah. like just put it in a new setting, and not, you wouldn't have to change shit.
Right.
That shit could still happen today.
Exactly. You know,
Throw
an iPhone or two.
If you haven't
still
seen it, you just need to see it, because I don't want to spoil some of the themes and stuff. If you haven't seen it by now, like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Where do you live at? Like,
it's literally one of the greatest films.
It's one of the greatest films.
And in my opinion, it's Spike Lee's best film.
Yeah, and that's his first film, too.
That's his first one. I'm about to say, yeah, that was his debut film.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a debut to make.
Exactly. Was it his first film?
Yeah, I believe it's. Yeah, that's
his
first film.
Legit one.
Oh, yeah.
It's his first through a major production company. Yeah.
So it's just a great ass film utilizing, like, it has all the shit I like, hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Spike Lee had me cracking up with that fucking
women.
Movie.
It's funny. And it tackles like difficult themes in a very like in a good way,
in a creative way.
I don't know what you want me to say. It's just a fire.
And a lot of people that weren't big then are big now. A lot of superstars came out of that movie.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's a damn good number three, Huey.
Yeah.
Pino, fuck you, fuck your fucking pizza, and fuck Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Well, fuck you too, and fuck Michael Jackson.
Raw.
Damn. All right. Full disclosure, this is a very tentative list. Okay. I'm not even sure if this list is right, but I just decided on three movies that I know I loved in my life.
Really?
So my number three,
the Barney movie.
Damn, you was close. Actually, Rugrats, nigga. My number three favorite movie of all time, I think I showed you this movie, is The Butterfly Effect.
Oh, really?
I don't think
with Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher? Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I love that movie.
It's an interesting little film. I didn't mean to like shit. That sounded like
it's a cute little independent film. You know what I'm saying? That's all right.
It's a great little short film.
But this is my number three film. I put it at my number three because just growing up, I did watch this movie a lot. And I like the whole concept of being able to go back in time and like how you change one thing changes this thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole basis of the entire movie. And then like the acting was good. And it was like, when I was a kid looking at this, I was like maybe 7 or 8 years old when I watched this movie for the first time. And so, you know, I don't really understand, like looking at it now, especially as a filmmaker, I'm looking at it differently than I did back then. But back then I was like, dang, white people be going through some shit, man. I was like, yo.
Wow.
Damn, like what the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like it's a great film in my opinion, because the story itself is just really good. Ashton Kutcher does a perfect job in the leading role, because he just plays that kind of like, you know that quirky white college dude really well, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that really fits him.
It's probably his best movie,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah, because I haven't seen him in much else. Yeah. But that's my number three all time, because
effect.
I don't know, like, there's some scenes in that movie really impacted me as a kid and as a filmmaker as I've grown up. So it's like,
you want to give a little like outline of what it's about for people who don't know.
Oh yeah, so if you haven't seen it, basically it's about this guy named Evan. That's a title character. Well, that's what the shit is about. Evan as Ashton Kutcher's character. And so basically, he had like this ability to go back in time through reading his journals. He would read stuff that he wrote when he was 13 or 14 at the time.
Yes.
And when he became a college student, he realized that he had the power to go back in time when he read these journals.
What time is it?
It's time for you to do what I tell you to do.
Wrong answer, fuckbag. This is the very moment of your reckoning. In the next 30 seconds, you're gonna open up one of two doors. The first door will forever traumatize your own flesh and blood.
What's happening? How are you doing this?
It'll change your daughter from a beautiful child into an empty shell. whose only concept of trust was betrayed by her own sick pedophile father. Ultimately, it'll lead to her suicide. Nice work, Daddy.
Who are you?
Let's just say you're being closely watched, George. Your other option is to treat Kaylee like, say, like a loving father treats his daughter. Sound okay to you, Papa?
Yes.
Listen close then, fuckbag. You screw this up again, I'll flat out castrate you. What you need to do is discipline your son Tommy, because the kid is one sadistic pup. One last thing.
Don't ever touch me again.
He had like a lot of fucked up shit that happened to him early in his life. And so as a young adult, he thought that if I go back and change this, it'll make things better. But what he realized is that you go back and change one thing, you change everything in the present.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I know we've all had a moment where we just, you know, felt like, dang, if I would have done this differently, this could have been different. Or, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was relatable from that standpoint too. And the fact that it has two different endings to the movie, there's like the regular ending, then there's the director's cut.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know which ending I prefer, but both of them were very interesting. If you watch the movie, the original movie, and you see the director's cut, it'll be like interesting to see which ending you would like prefer. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I love that movie.
Might have to check that out one day.
I don't really remember how it ended, but I remember that movie just being sad. Because it's like, he goes back and change shit, and some stuff's better, some stuff's worse, but it's just like, dude, you're just fucked either way.
Yeah.
It just sucks. And it's just like, well, yep, there you go. But it was a good movie, though. Nemo, number two movie.
Oh, my number two movie.
I'm going to be mad if... No, let me not say it. Let me not say it yet. Go ahead.
I'm going to say, get a nigga a chance. Yeah, a nigga a chance.
Yeah.
This one's also kind of new, but this one just strikes such a big chord with me. It's called Mr. Church, starring Eddie Murphy.
I heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's not funny at all, actually.
Damn. Mm.
Tess of the Durbervilles. You read this?
Aren't you the one who said it's good to read a book more than once?
All right, well, then Tess of the Durbervilles it is.
Mm.
Is there something else?
Why don't you ever tell me where you live? Where do you go when you aren't with us?
Because what I do with my own personal time is my business, child.
You know everything about me, so just tell me something.
It's late, child.
Please.
Hey, I said it's late. I like ice cream.
What kind?
Butter pecan.
Favorite color?
Brown.
Movie?
The Maltese Falcon.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Okay, now that's enough.
All right, just tell me what your house looks like, or tell me who your best friend is. Come on, just tell me who
I said enough! Don't you know when to back off? Enough!
The cinematography in this is just absolutely amazing from start to finish. The storytelling is amazing from start to finish.
What's it about?
It's about Mr. Church. He's basically...
Why you look like that? He looked at me like, no shit. What is it about? it's about Mr. Church.
So anyway, back to the cinematography.
So this white family, single mother, she has a daughter. The mom, she has breast cancer, but she's dying.
Damn.
And when Mr. Church comes into the picture,
that's played by Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mr. Church serves as a cook / basically the help, basically. But his compensation is that he has food and he's getting a check until she dies. Uh-huh. So until she dies, that he's just helping him and cooking for him. Now the daughter, she was like 10 when he moved in. She didn't really fuck with him like that. She was like, "Mom, why is there a black man in the kitchen?"
Oh shit!
So it took her a long time to like get used to it, because like, even though like she didn't know what,
I think any of us would ask that question if there was just some random nigga in the kitchen.
Why is there a black man in the kitchen? Why is he cooking collard greens and shit?
Wow. Why is it freaking collard greens, mother?
Yeah, but so the daughter, her name is Charlie. She didn't know what Mr. Church would cook, but every time it would just taste like heaven to her. Mm. So as she's growing up, she would just like have a new companion or whatever, and it was Mr. Church, and he was slowly teaching her like the benefits of cooking and the benefits of reading, because she wasn't really fucking with the idea of having a library.
I ain't really fucking with that shit, man. Go ahead, take that reading shit away from me, knuckle. Really,
that's literally what she was like at that
first. I ain't really fucking with all them words and shit.
But then
fuck on my face.
But then after the mom dies, which is like 6 years into the movie, after the mom dies, that's when Charlie just grows this like this bond with Mr. Church, because when Charlie goes off to college, she has to come back to Mr. Church, and Mr. Church ends up taking care of Charlie because Charlie has like a kid or whatever. There's just so many like plot twists.
That sounds pretty damn good.
It's like a good life story of Mr. Church, even though Mr. Church isn't really the main character.
So this was written by Eddie Murphy?
Mm-mm. It wasn't written by Eddie Murphy.
When did this come out again?
2016, I think.
What?
Yeah, that's that very recent? New.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
Is it on Netflix or something?
It is on Netflix.
I'll check that shit out. Okay, so what, Eddie Murphy's involvement in it, he just acted in it or something?
Yeah, he's just that. Is he the producer? I'm not sure.
He probably is.
I just wanted to know if he has some kind of behind the scenes role in it.
I don't know. I would need to look at that again and tell you, but that's the first time I've seen Eddie Murphy like play a completely serious role.
I was about to ask.
I was about to say that.
Completely serious act.
Yeah, because he didn't really laugh the entire movie or crack a... Well, the only jokes he was cracking was just how he talks.
I mean, I've seen him do like roles that weren't necessarily comedic. Like, was Dreamgirls is an example. Like, he wasn't really comedic.
That was a very Eddie Murphy role, though.
I mean, he wasn't comedic,
but his personality was very...
And in this one, you're saying he's like dark and deep and like sad type shit.
Dark and deep.
Well, he's not really dark and deep, the character. It's just the vibe of the movie it gives off, because, like I said, it's just the life of Mr. Church, even though he's not the main character.
Mm. Okay, cool. We'll check that out. Appreciate that,
Mr. Church.
Huey, number motherfucking two, my guy.
All right, number two. This movie is probably generally considered just a good movie, mm-hmm. but because of the circumstances around this movie, got to be my favorite. Well, second favorite movie of all time. It's The Incredibles.
The first one.
Not the second one.
I am surprised.
I think like the second years. One was good, but a lot worse than the first one.
You thought it was a lot worse?
Yes.
Dang.
But I thought
did
it was,
you see the second
I
one?
Was good.
No, I haven't seen the second one.
I thought
one.
It was good, but okay. A lot of people say it's just as good or better, but I don't think so. Okay, Incredibles. Gosh. Okay, how do I break this down? So first off, I saw this movie like on my birthday when it came out. Like when I was like a little kid, I forget how old I was. Whenever that shit came out, I was like 5 to 8 or some shit like that. And bro, I just remember this movie like blowing my mind as a kid. Like
it was incredible.
If you don't know what The Incredibles,
I couldn't help it, dog. I couldn't help it.
You ugly as hell.
I'm ugly as fuck. Bro, that shit
it was
funny.
Incredible. All right.
No shit.
Okay. So, yeah, it was an incredible film. You know what I'm saying? The theme, like, it was also let me break it down for those who don't know what it's about. Somehow. You know what I'm saying? There might be one nigga on.
I mean, you're right.
This was a kid movie, you know what I'm saying?
There could be some people younger than us, like, Incredibles. The fuck is that?
Or people older than us, you know?
Yeah, or older than us. They may not have given a fuck. Like, I don't think my parents would have saw it if I didn't want to go.
I mean, true.
Okay, so it's about a family of superheroes living in an alternate, like, reality of 1950. Mm-hmm. And they basically live in a time where superheroes have been banned. And they're like, nah, fuck that shit. And they spring back into action when the world needs them. And bro, it's just a great movie. It has one of the greatest villains ever.
The powers that they have. Because Mr.
Dash was my favorite character.
Dash was my favorite character, bro.
That nigga Dash was fly as fuck.
He was fly as fuck, bro. I remember like the scene of Dash running on water.
Yes, bro. When the music cuts on.
That might be my favorite movie scene of all time.
Oh,
Like, I just remember, like, I was like, oh shit, like, the way it was cut,
yeah.
It was like, you just hear the little pitter-patter of the water, you see his face, he's looking up, and he looks down, and he just starts laughing.
That's the
and
coolest shit ever.
Everybody in the theater was like, oh shit, that shit
that's the coolest shit ever, bro.
That shit was so hard, bro.
And the way the music cuts right back in as soon as he, like, takes off again,
yeah.
Running. But it's beautiful.
The score for that movie
is great.
It was
pretty good.
It's one of those movies that, like, I love big adventure movies, mm-hmm. like where you're going to multiple places and you're exploring this new world that you don't know about. And the new world for them was the island that Syndrome was on, where yeah. like he had Syndrome being the main villain, where he had all this shit like lava fucking curtains and shit, like, you know what I'm saying, all this weird shit. And it was just so dope to like see like superheroes portrayed in this way before like the Marvel craze of like we just see superheroes all the time now,
yeah.
But like back then it was like, oh, a superhero movie for me, like, you know what I'm saying, because I was right. a kid, and you know, I just really connected with that movie. I thought it was super fi. I played like both of the games that were with it, and just like that being a really happy time in my life and seeing that movie on my birthday, connecting with Dash as a character. Like, yeah, like I just got to give it to that. It's just, and it's a dope movie. It's about family and, you know, finding your strength and, you know what I'm saying, breaking the rules to do the good, to do some good.
Yeah.
So I fuck with
I
all
need
that.
To see that movie again. I haven't seen it in 10 years.
And you also haven't seen the sequel either, right?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Wait, let me give a quick side story for that movie. So when we went to watch that movie, it was Thanksgiving. We do this tradition in Florida. We just see a movie after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So we're supposed to see the SpongeBob movie, right? But then they were like, no, see The Incredibles. And I got so fucking pissed off because, you know, I fucking love my SpongeBob.
You did?
God fucking damn it. I did not want to see no fucking Incredibles.
Like, you were pissed off. And then you were, I'm assuming, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that shit was fine.
Even if it was still like, no, it was still
like,
bad.
He went into the theater. Where's SpongeBob? He left the theater. Fuck SpongeBob. Man, listen.
That's old shit.
Of course, man. You know, we know The Incredibles is a classic, especially for our generation. If you have not seen The Incredibles and you're our age,
what's wrong with you?
Like, dang, you know what I'm saying? Your life is missing something.
Did you have a life?
Did you have a childhood?
Yeah, like, it's one nigga listening to this like, well, fuck y'all.
Fuck
y'all. It was like,
I can't relate, nigga. Damn.
Bullshit.
And I saw it in the theater for the first time, too. Like, seeing that movie and then, like, it's a classic, bro. It's a classic movie overall. Like, and I personally, I won't spoil the second one, but I thought the second one was just as good. It wasn't better, but it was just as good.
No.
Or it was close to being just as good. But that's my opinion.
I mean, that's
we all got opinions.
Most people think that, but it's just like, for me.
Yeah, you
like
have really high expectations.
I guess so, since it's my second favorite.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't want to get into all of that, but, like, I just think they scaled it down where they should have expanded the story and shit.
But it was still generally good, though, right?
It was fun.
Opinion.
It was a fun summer flick.
Yeah.
Take a
honestly, it, like, for what, like, they probably struggled. They know it was hella pressure for that sequel, to take on that sequel in the first place.
We've been asking for it since 2005.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that shit pissed me off when I was a kid. I was like, oh, they got to make a second one. Of course they're going to make a second one. And then Brad Bird was like
15 years later.
Because yeah,
really Brad Bird might have been planning a sequel for the longest, but you know how, like, the whole thing goes.
Studios.
Like, bro, if you don't think this is a story that can either be just as good or better, they probably went through 100 different plots trying to get to this one.
I feel like it was I don't know for sure, but I thought it was like he just wanted to leave and do other shit or something.
Oh, well, it could have been,
like,
that too.
Could have been that too.
The studio was like, you know, being weird, how studios usually are.
Yeah, maybe some legal stuff, but, you know.
It's a great movie, man.
It's a great movie.
And it's not just all about the action.
Mm-hmm. The emotional moments are key.
Yeah, you remember some of those moments just as fondly. And it was just shot, like, choreographed beautifully. And it's an animated movie, which animated movies are underrated.
Wait,
exactly.
Is this a Pixar movie?
Pixar,
yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah. Then yeah, Pixar. They always got
the animation. The visual animation of it has always been fucking great.
Yeah,
especially back then, it looked beautiful. Especially back then.
Yeah, that shit's fire.
Yeah.
All right. All right,
Ra.
My number two
movie of all time on this tentative ass list. My number two today is.
Number two for today
is The Wiz.
Oh shit!
Yeah, The Wiz.
You know, Nick.
You don't know The Wiz,
Nemo.
I'm about to get up.
Give me your black card.
What?
Fucking FIFO turned around like. Nick, you don't know The Wiz, man.
Okay, I'm gonna give
but
it
he's
to
not
you.
Just like,
to remind
he's
me.
Not just not. He's not just looking like, oh, I never saw that. He's
look,
like,
everybody in the studio. Everybody in the studio.
Ken walked up.
No, you gonna have to remind me.
Here. I got you. Here I go. So if you are unaware, and this is an older movie, it came out in 1978, so a lot of people might not know about this, but The Wiz is my number two favorite movie of all time. The Wiz is basically a black version of The Wizard of Oz.
You mean all this time the only thing standing between hanging up there and living it up down here were those crows?
Well, they told you you couldn't do it, and you believed them.
If I only had a brain, I would have figured that out a long time ago.
There you go with that negative thinking again. Everybody has a brain.
Mm-mm. Not me. Look.
Oh. Garbage. I'm on my way to find the Wiz. He's going to get me back home. Maybe he could get you a brain.
You think that he could?
I told him and me we could sure use some company. Besides, you have nothing to lose.
I don't, do I? That was so smart of you. I wish I thought of that.
With Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Nipsey Russell, Ted Ross, motherfucking Lena Horne. Like, I grew up loving that movie. And so, like, the reason I put it at my number two is because there is a period in my life where I would talk about The Wiz all the fucking time. Like, that was one of the movies that made me want to do film.
Oh, ooh.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because the reason I loved it so much is because, like, I was like, damn, I love the original story of The Wizard of Oz. Like, I love that tale anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then just adding our sauce onto it, adding the black culture to it. Like, we have Michael Jackson, Diana Ross. These are some of the biggest stars on the planet at the time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was
I have heard of it. Just never
damn,
bro. It.
You can't even.
Bro, hold up, dog.
Well, we got to have all these movies we're talking about. We got to
view everything we haven't seen.
We watched The Wiz.
You dig?
Nigga.
If you ever seen BET on Sunday, I don't know how you missed The Wiz.
Nigga, talking about Thanksgiving movies. You used to watch that shit every Thanksgiving, Christmas. Right.
So, like, yeah,
never mind.
I was like growing up, I had a real like fondness for this movie, and it's just like the music, the soundtrack is fucking incredible. Like, I have that shit on my phone. Yeah, there, I said it. I have the soundtrack to The Wiz on my phone. Thank you, Apple Music. That's how much I love the fucking movie, bro.
Because
like that movie, like that, and I love Quincy Jones as a composer anyway. Mm-hmm. But that the music is what made the film. You know what I'm saying? It's a musical. It was based off a Broadway musical. You know what I'm saying? So like, but that movie is just like, I don't know. It's just all the intangibles about it, like the flavor,
bro,
like our culture, the acting. And like at the time, it was shitted on. Like, it was a box office bomb. It didn't even make its budget back. And
Sleep.
Like, it got like horrible reviews. But then like in the years since then, it's become like a cult classic, and people realize how actually good it is, bro. Like, I love that movie. So
like, they even did not too long ago, like maybe 1 or 2 years ago, they did a remake of The Wiz on ABC.
Yeah, and that was good.
Not The Wizard of Oz. So like, just shows you how like culturally classic.
And that was Michael Jackson's only film role.
That was his only film role?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Huh.
Okay. I believe so. Y'all can fact check me on that, but I believe that was his only film role that he ever did in his life.
I thought I remember seeing him in some weird ass movie.
I'm definitely finna write this movie down again.
Huh?
Thriller. Thriller is a movie. Thriller's a movie, bro.
Thriller's a movie, but you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about feature length film, you know what I'm saying? I think that was his only one. Okay. Right,
it's like an extended movie, and he also had another one too. I couldn't tell you the name of the video, but he turned into like a robot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, because I said I remember seeing him in some weird shit.
He has two like extended.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
An hour and a half, bro. So
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess The Wiz would be his only traditional movie, I guess, in a sense. For all those reasons, just listed, bro. Like, The Wiz is like my second favorite movie of all time, bro. I love that movie.
Talk about a movie that takes you to a new world. Like, that shit put so much sauce.
So much soul. That's what it added. It added soul to The Wizard of Oz.
Bro.
Like, I'm probably going to like The Wiz better because I never fought with The Wizard of Oz. I thought that shit
was The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz is white people making fried chicken. The Wiz. Come on now.
We got some Lowry's in the Wiz.
The Wiz is black people making fried chicken.
He said he put the Lowry's on it.
We got some seasoned salt on The Wiz.
Bro,
damn.
I saw The Wizard.
It was just Morton's.
The Wiz before I saw The Wizard of Oz. Swear. So I think when I was a kid, I was like, what is this ripoff of the fucking Wiz? What the fuck is this boring ass shit?
The fuck is this unseasoned ass movie? What the fuck? Fuck this shit.
This salt is spicy ass movie.
Oh, but, damn. Like, if The Wiz is like five guys and The Wizard of Oz is like Varsity or something.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
But yeah, bro, like, oh man, I remember, Did I cry to that movie?
You cried to The Wiz.
I don't know. I think
the ending was like
when she's singing alone, bro. Her like all the characters were like really good. Like they were committed to their like
they were good actors.
You know what I'm saying? I just remember that scene where she's like crying alone in the dark. I mean, singing and crying alone in the dark.
You want to see it, right?
I'm being very vague. All right, I won't spoil it. But there's this one scene where she's singing alone. And like she's all alone and shit, and I'm like, damn, that shit was so sad,
bro.
I related to that shit so heavy.
Yeah, we definitely got to get you up on that,
man. Come on,
we can't enter we can't enter the black entertainment world, and you haven't seen The Wiz. They gonna crucify the fuck out of all three of us.
Damn, nigga, roasting the fuck out of me.
Hey, man, it's that serious, bro.
Is that serious? On to Nemo's number one movie of all time, my guy.
Damn. Well, after that, he my number one movie finna seem like shit to y'all. After that,
No, it's not.
Number one favorite movie is definitely a Quentin Tarantino film. It's called The Hateful Eight. It came out.
It
came out like 3-4 years ago. I love this movie. Quentin Tarantino, he really did his thing on this one. I love the way he wrote it, and the fact that. It's like told like a book, you know, it's split into five, six chapters, and how every chapter has like a very detailed plot that helps with the overall plot of the whole thing. And just seeing it all unfold was just really amazing to me because like, the whole movie is just building up for the climax. Like, it's just giving you all this background information and stuff. But when the climax actually happens, you're like, oh, what the fuck? That's happening. Then this is happening. And that's happening.
How would you describe, like, if someone was like, what is this movie about? Because, like, it's a very interesting, like, unique film. Like, what would you say? How did you say this is what The Hateful Eight is about?
The Hateful Eight is basically about...
Exactly.
It's about eight people that
are hateful.
Okay. I know a way to describe this. I know a way to describe this. So we got eight people, right? Mm-hmm. Two of them, they're... Fuck, I don't want to say that part either.
It's like eight people... All are like kind of like thugs or bandits or something for the most part.
Yeah,
and like hauled up in.
They all got a okay. One of them has a bounty. They're trying to get paid $10,000 for carrying one of the other one of the eight members.
Yeah,
It's really hard to like explain this without like.
It's like a quirky old Western movie.
Yeah, it's like a Western movie. Cinematography is beautiful.
Samuel Jackson's in it.
Samuel Jackson, he did his thing playing Marcus Warren.
If you've seen any movie ever, Samuel Jackson is the black guy.
Samuel Jackson's in it.
Like
course,
the that Family Guy joke, right? That's a Family Guy joke. Yeah. It's like any movie the ever, he's the black guy. It's definitely Samuel Jackson.
He said, "Have you seen any movie ever? He's the black guy."
This particular movie is at number one just because of the storytelling that Quentin Tarantino is doing. That's really the core that struck with me.
It was shot nicely too.
It was shot so fucking beautifully.
I think I might have seen bits and pieces of it. I don't think I ever seen the entire movie.
Bro, it was so clever because it's like, fuck, what are those things where it's like you know the whodunit like games and shit like that?
I think
like
so.
Clue and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, you're trying to figure out who's going to come out on top.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that in movie form because they're all trying to do like this one specific thing, which I'm not going to spoil. And it's like, oh, how are they going to do that? Which character are you rooting for? Because it's The Hateful Eight. They ain't fucking with each other. So you got to see who's going to come out on top and who's not.
And plus, like the fact that they're all like trapped in a Minnie's haberdashery for like a good 8 to 10 hours. Yeah. Well, they were really supposed to be there for 3 days, but shit happened. Yeah. So when niggas found out who were the snakes was, shit happened. It's basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It was a good movie. Was that the first Tarantino movie I saw full through? May have been.
It could have been because it's his most recent one. He only got like 8 or 9 and they're all like 2.
Wait, three. When did The Hateful Eight come out?
Like 2015, 2016.
Oh, shit. Right
then, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. I had to put a Quentin Tarantino film on there. Pulp Fiction was amazing, but I couldn't do it.
But Django was good, too.
Django was amazing.
You shut your lying nigga lips up! God damn it!
Okay.
Huey's number one. I'm intrigued.
My number two and three have been movies that you guys have heard of and seen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard of or seen this movie.
Watch how I already know it.
It's called Killing Bono.
Damn.
Don't know it. Don't know it. This is your favorite movie of all time.
Bro, it's my favorite movie of all time. I think it's underrated. How do I describe this movie? Okay, Killing Bono. So it stars, first off, one of my favorite actors that I found out about through this show called Misfits. It's a UK show. Robert Sheehan. Have either one of you guys seen The Umbrella Academy?
No, I haven't seen it.
No? Damn, well, he's in that too. Mm. And this was the first movie I saw him in after seeing him in Misfits. This movie came out in 2011. Okay, Killing Bono. So you guys know who Bono is?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Explain or refresh me, please.
He's from the band U2. He's the front man.
Okay.
Very popular band.
Yeah, yeah. U2. I know about that.
So Killing Bono takes place in Bono's childhood, but also the childhood of the two main characters. Mm-hmm. So how it works is, like, they knew Bono growing up, and when he was, like, about to assemble his band, pretty mm-hmm. much, right? So they're all of them want to make music. The two brothers want to make music, and obviously Bono wants to make music because he's Bono. And so they join one of the little, like, the younger, and this happens very early, so I'm not really spoiling anything. The younger brother, he plays guitar, and he's able to get in Bono's band. But his brother in the movie, he's like, and this is based on a true story also. One of the brothers that the movie is about actually wrote the book that this is based on. So the older brother was, like, bitter. And he was like, nah, bro, like, why don't we just start a band and, like, you be in my band and, you know what I'm saying, fuck Bono. Like, he was kind of, like, jealous. I think he even lied to his brother and said, like, he didn't get in or some shit like that, which he kept that secret for, like, years. He either didn't tell him he got in or he, like, manipulated him into joining his band, right? Mm-hmm. So, and why it speaks to me is, even before I started making music and stuff, it spoke to me just as a young artist, because the whole movie is basically about these two brothers that are trying to make it in the music industry. And they're like, it's like if one of the people we knew blew up and we're, like, still trying to make it, and we had an opportunity to be with them, but we're like, nah, bro, fuck that shit. We're going to do that shit on our own. And then obviously they never make it because you don't know who they are. And it's just, like, a very realistic story, because it's based on a true story. And I just like it because, like, the brothers, like, they go through a lot of shit together. And you never see in those, like, artist biopics, you never hear about the story of the people who didn't make it. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? The artist is, like, the 1 in 100. So seeing this story where it's, like, they flirt with them. Oh, shit. Are we going to, like, can we do it and shit? Are we going to be able to do it? And then they just don't make it. And they don't become famous and shit. And they just end up having just very humble lives. It was just fire to see. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then it's, like, crap. What? Let me see. It's, like, in that era, I think set in, like, the 80s or 70s. Mm-hmm. So it's that era of rock where it's, like, you know, it's,
yeah,
at,
right,
its,
like,
at its peak.
Yeah.
And they're coming up through that, doing shows. They actually have a pretty few good songs on, like, the soundtrack for that movie. And Robert Sheehan's one of my favorite actors. So just seeing him in the role of, like, the younger brother, and, you know, it helped me to, like, relate to him more. And I don't know, bro, just, like, the story of that movie, it just hits home for me. Like, it's just this quaint little film about these two guys who are trying to make it. And it's like, they just keep stay strong, but, like, you know what I'm saying, they just don't end up making it.
Neil McCormick here with homegrown rock sensations. The hype still sweaty from a blistering live show. So, boys, tell us, where do you see the hype in, say, 5 years' time?
In 5 years, the hype will be history.
What?
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 You guys are fucking amazing tonight.
You said that this is what you wanted to do forever, like.
Yeah.
It is.
So we're changing our names to something good.
Oh?
You're looking at U2.
U2.
U2?
That is so...
Shite!
Thank you, Neil. I didn't want to say it. It sounds like a bleeding submarine.
We're changing our names.
What?
Dave wants to be known as The Edge.
What, like Edge Evans or Dave Edge?
Just The Edge.
The Edge of what?
From now on, he's Bono.
Bono! It's good.
I could be
viral.
Do they grow envious of Bono?
The older brother does, which is why it's called Killing Bono.
Yeah.
At a point in the movie, he actually tries, like, he contemplates killing this man. even though kind of in the movie it's like his fault why they're not, because like Bono would be like offering them certain placements and stuff and he would just be like, nah, you know, we're good and shit. Like, you know what I mean? I haven't seen this movie in a while, so I want to watch it again, but I just remember it sticking with me and I was like, yeah, bro.
You explained it pretty well. That made me want to watch it.
Yeah, like, damn.
Yeah, you never hear about that story, like that side of like what happened to the niggas that didn't make it, like that almost made it.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it's like, and then you're like,
it's kind of like unsung almost. Because
like in the movie, they tell you their names, so it's like, well, we know these people didn't make it because I don't know who the fuck they are. So it's like you're rooting for them, like, man, fuck Bono, like come on, bro, y'all can do it. Like they're playing shows, they you know, and then it's like a brother film, so they're like getting mad at each other but sticking through it, everything and shit. And yeah, bro, it's just a five film.
All right.
What's your number one?
I guess it's on the Ramil. My number one film of all time, my favorite film of all time is the Ray Charles biopic.
Oh, wow.
Charles biopic.
Oh, I haven't seen that in like 15 years, I remember that shit.
I love this movie. And Jamie Foxx is probably, I can say pretty definitively, he's my favorite actor. So,
That shit almost scarred me, that one scene when he fucking lost his vision. That shit almost scarred me.
I love this movie from a story standpoint, cinematographically. From acting was perfect. Like, you can't tell me, every time I watch this movie, I've seen this movie 100 times, every time I watch this movie I think that Jamie Foxx is fucking Ray Charles. Like, literally, that was one of the best performances I've ever seen in a lead role in my life. Like, he killed shit, bro. And did you know that he actually glued his eyes shut during filming?
Really?
He glued his eyes shut to get in character for filming, but that's why it was so pitch perfect.
Right there.
So what Jack Lauderdale have to say?
Well, I clocked him coming out the gate. The man was a two-bit hustler.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it turns out that the only hit that Swing Time ever had was Open the Door Richard, which was a joke record.
Yeah, well, what about him recording me?
Oh, he'll record you if we pay the freight.
Scratch a lie, find a thief.
What's that supposed to mean?
This. You see, I saw Jack Lauderdale tonight, and he gave me $500 advance on my record. He also said he'd put me on the road with Lo Folsom and pay me three times as much as you've been paid.
Now, that's a lie.
Ain't no way he gonna put some blind man on the road. Think about it. Look, Ray, let's not do nothing stupid. I might be blind, but I ain't stupid. Q, get my back from upstairs.
And, like, just, like... and I'm also a fan of Ray Charles' music. Obviously, he's a great musician. But from the film itself, like, just the way they... like told it, were like going back between like his current day and his childhood, and like they really captured the whole energy of how it was for black people in that time, like in the 1910s and 20s and shit, mm-hmm. when we were fresh out of Reconstruction and stuff like that. Like, and it was just, I don't know, man, like that movie is just, the acting is great. Like, it's a long ass movie, but like I never get tired of watching it, bro. Like, I watch the movie every time it comes on. Like,
oh wow.
I don't watch the entire thing every time it comes up. I at least go to like the scenes that I know I want to see. Cause still, like, that's how you know a movie has really affected you, when like you can watch it and like you know what the fuck is about to happen. But it's like, it's still like, you're just like, fuck, like this shit is so entertaining. So like, bro, that's my favorite movie of all time, man. At least as of right now, like that's my number one, because Jamie Foxx killed that shit. All the actors killed it. And I think it was probably one of the more accurate, like, portrayals of somebody's actual life. You know what I'm saying? Like, biopics are hard to pull off because you got to get a whole bunch of information. You got to make sure it's accurate. And of course, like, there were some parts that got to be dramatized because it's a film. And it's like, I don't, like, that movie just does it for me, bro. Like, in all aspects of film, like from the acting, story, you know what I'm saying? Like, emotional impact. It has all of it for me, dog.
I think that movie introduced me to Ray Charles.
Really?
I think I saw the movie first.
Oh yeah, probably. It came out, we were 7 years old when it came out.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have no knowledge of who he was.
Started listening to Hit the Road Jack and all that shit.
And goddamn, what I'd say parts one and two, that's the song that's in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Fucking classic shit, bro. So that's my favorite movie, bro.
Wow.
All time. Ray.
It's really interesting that you bring up that movie, because like I literally haven't seen that since my dad brought me to the theater in 2004.
Whoa.
When that's the last time I saw that movie, and I was like, wow.
You saw it in theaters?
Yeah, I was like, wow, it's pretty good, but I never saw it anywhere else.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
Usually they bring that shit back up on BET or something, but man, that's a good movie.
Ray.
Really, really interesting.
All right, so you guys look, let's count back down our top three so everybody remembers, and then you guys vote on who you think has the best list. And check out some of the movies that we've mentioned if you haven't seen them.
Because, for sure. Check out some of our faves, you feel me?
Because we picked out some very deep cuts. All right. So my top three is number three is Another Hood, London version of Friday. Number two is Mr. Church, very good life story. Number one is The Hateful Eight. Just really love the story and how the plot is climax and resolution and the and shit.
Every facet of film, it just does it for you. I feel it.
Film. All right.
Film jargon.
For me, I got number three, Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee.
Go.
Number two, you know what I'm saying? I got The Incredibles 1 from Pixar Studios. And then number one, I got Killing Bono, underrated, relatable film. And it's just fire.
My top three, number three was The Butterfly Effect. Number two was The Wiz. And number one, it's Ray.
I want to know if there are other people like Nemo out there that haven't seen The Wiz. If you haven't
other
seen The
black
Wiz, let us
kids.
Probably a very small percentage
of people that.
Like, I mean, yeah. Like, I know there's people who haven't seen it because it is a super old movie, but it's like, I don't know, like, for our age group, you mean, or just like.
I'm talking about black people.
Oh, black people. I mean, you probably won't find too many of them, yeah, to be honest. They probably are a minority, but.
You think
there's
anybody that likes The Wizard of Oz better than The Wiz?
There are probably a few.
In our community, I'm not sure.
And our like you'd be hard pressed to find. I think you'd be hard pressed to find a black person who's like The Wiz or The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is way better than The Wiz. You would be hard pressed.
What can
I would
say
think
that's like makes The Wizard of Oz better than The Wiz.
I think Dabbler would go with that.
Probably that motherfucker probably would.
Yeah, definitely.
And for all the reasons that we know why. Yeah. But
Uncle,
you know,
Uncle Ruckus type people.
You know what I'm saying? Uncle Ruckus motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
No Denzel movies.
Even though I do like...
I was too young to watch American Gangster.
I was going to say Training Day. And oh no, one of my favorite movies that he's been in. Day. Oh my gosh, what was the name of it? Don't tell me. What was the name of it? Fuck, it was when his son was in the hospital. You know what I'm talking... John Q. Yep, that's one of the best movies I've seen too. I do like that movie a lot. Mm. It was about his son got really sick. It was him and Kimberly Elise was in it, right? That was the mother. The name. I think she was in it, but yeah, like that was a good movie too. But
man,
yeah,
there's so many honorable mentions.
There are a lot.
Well,
we were talking. I was thinking of some, but
yeah,
like,
bro, like
chill.
It's a million movies I could have put for my top three, bro. Exactly. But I just had to settle on something.
We have to do another movie like yeah, list, specific, maybe like animated or
animated.
Yeah,
movies.
We gonna come back to this. Okay, I can't.
You see what I'm saying? It's too much. It's too big of a spectrum, people. Like, it's too big of a spectrum, bro. Like, we had to narrow it down to three general movies. Like, we couldn't. We didn't categorize it. That we stuck with.
Because there was a lot of like great movies I was thinking of. But I'm like, what are the ones that just spoke to me the most? You know, personally.
You know what I'm saying? And it just and it's just like how they made me feel in my childhood too. Like just how I grew up with them factored all into that. Yeah. But I'm not disputing. Like, there's a million fucking movies I could have put. Like,
we'll do a part two.
You feel me?
Well, okay.
We'll come back.
Moving into our show and tell segment where we bring... This nigga's dancing. Nemo is dancing.
Let me stop. So,
where we bring up a random topic that we want to talk to with the other guys or something that's like underrepresented or under-talked about that we want to bring up. All right. So, who wants to go first?
I guess I'll go first.
All right. I'll go second.
So, I was like... I low-key was like trying to... I was going back and forth between... two topics, but I literally just found this one. So everybody knows like hockey is not traditionally associated with black people, right?
It's not.
No. Oh, it's shit. Not
fuck.
You remember that episode of Everybody Hates Chris when Drew had a Wayne Gretzky jersey?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, what are you doing with a fucking hockey jersey? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, black people are not like, typically associated with hockey.
Yeah.
But what I looked up this past weekend was I feel like I just give black history facts every time I do a show and tell.
Yeah,
it's like
fine.
You know what I'm saying? But
we all got our thing.
Hockey actually originated with a group of black men. If I want to get like real historical, it was a version of field hockey that was played in Africa, and all
that makes sense.
They did was apply the game to ice over here.
That makes fucking sense. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Oh, so that's my show until like the origin of hockey began with melanated people, black people. And it's like, when I found out that, I was like, dang, so why are we like, as African Americans, so like, we're disconnected from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were fired. We're so fucking fired at everything else. We were just like, hockey.
We'll let y'all have hockey.
And it's like,
because they whiteified it, they put it on ice.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, yeah, like it was a game that they played in ancient Africa where there was like a puck and they had a stick and it was just played on like the ground. Yep. And, you know, like, yeah, like, and then it came over here. And so now, like, even over here, it was popularized by a group of black men who were like hockey players. They play hockey, you know what I'm saying? The version that's made here.
Yeah.
And then I think the dude's name was Ibgis Stanley, because you know it's called the Stanley Cup. So there was this white guy who came and took credit for, I guess, coming up with it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was a black guy.
Yeah, I believe it was a white guy who some part of his name was named Stanley. And he got credited for, you know what I'm saying, coming up with the game itself and stuff like that. And so that's why it's called the Stanley Cup now.
Mm.
But the actual origin of it came from black
people. The roots of the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Didn't know that. Would y'all play hockey?
I've never played, but I'll try.
I'll play field hockey. That's what I would do.
I'll play both, but I don't think I can. I never ice skated.
I don't think I'll bust my ass, but I can't skate, before I even play.
I don't know.
But the field hockey, I'll try that.
Yeah, I would definitely get right in field hockey.
All right. I'll go next. All right.
The fuck you got if you sleep, Huey?
So my show and tell is just a little interactive little game. Not for us to play right now, but for like the fans can go and do this later. So I was telling y'all a little bit about this earlier, but then I stopped because I was like, oh, word, I'm going to use this for my show and tell. Mm. All right, so go to the Jeremiah song, We, right? And you know that part at the beginning where he's like... So in the comments of that song, there's like a whole bunch of little meme comments of like, it's like 8 to 24, and it's like the link to that little snippet.
Yeah.
And it's like when you bite into some hot food and you can't spit it out. And it's just a whole bunch of like comments that are just funny as fuck. So when you're feeling down, you could go to that video and just scroll the comments and just click the little hyperlinks and read what they're saying as he's saying it.
It's like 100.
It's like almost all the fucking comments are that. When you wake up and your charger wasn't plugged in.
Yo, that shit does hurt, dog. I don't give a fuck. I hate that shit, bro. I hate waking up and my phone is not charged, dog.
When your mom has your report card in one hand and a belt in the other.
Yo, y'all ever got your ass behind a report card?
Have I ever got my...
Nah.
Bro, I got my ass whooped. It wasn't because of a report card. It was like, it was a progress report. But I think it was because
Damn, beat your ass over a progress report?
It was like I lied about some shit. That's why I got whooped.
Oh.
But the fact that I was failing didn't help either. It was like I lied about some shit. And then I had to show this failing ass progress report. And like, you know, what was the excuses that they always use and shit? Like, she just put the grades in. It's not like that right now. It's actually a B now, but when she put it in, it was an F.
Bruh, I didn't get my ass whipped over a report card, but I did get my ass whipped over a grade. And it's kind of similar to you, if like it's just some stupid shit that I did. So like I was like, I was supposed to be like doing updates on like these specific like little pieces of work for my teacher or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so like some of them I would do, and like some of them I would just half ass and get like bad grades on. So I remember my dad was like, all right, the next time, like tomorrow when you walk in, I want to see that grade or from that shit that you were supposed to bring in, right? And I was like, all right, bet. But when I went to school,
How old were you again?
Bro, I was probably like, I don't know, like fourth grade or some shit like that.
So like 8 or 9.
So I went and got it, and I fucking failed the little assignment. I was like, fuck. It's like a makeup assignment. So, you know, like you fucked around and failed the first one and failed the second thing.
God damn.
So I brought it home. My dad was like, I want to see it. And like, I was like, okay. And I don't know why I did this, but like, I was just saying, like, oh, I can't find it. So, like, he was like, find, search through your bag, and you're gonna fucking, you're gonna keep searching until I see that fucking paper, right? Bro, so let me tell you what I did.
Wait, is he standing over you as you're looking?
No, 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 no.
Oh,
he
shit.
He walked away, right? So let me tell you what I did, bro. So I took the paper, bro, and I ate it. I was like, he'll never be able to find it now.
Hey, bro.
So I took the paper.
Don't flush it down until it just eat that shit.
I ate it, bro. Because I was like, if I flush it, he might go into pipes. If I throw it away, he might fucking be like, what the fuck is this? So I balled up the paper, and when he went away, I ate it, bro. So he came back. He was like, okay, where is it? I was like, Dad, I can't find it. I don't know. I just can't fucking find it. And like, I think he's like, all right. And that, I think he just started beating my ass until I told him what I did with it. Because like, he knew I was fucking lying.
He
I was
beat
like,
the shit out of you, huh?
And my mom was right there. And I was like, I ate it. And I just remember my mom just started laughing. Like, what the fuck? Bro, yeah, bro.
That's the funniest shit I ever heard in my life. Bro, the nigga just took the paper. He was just like,
it was quick thinking. He was like, I'll be right back. He just walked to the kitchen.
So wait a minute, hold up. Fuck. You had... I'm thinking this. So this an assignment is regular, like, bro, length as far,
yes,
as,
bro. It's, and you just a regular assignment that I just fucked around on and either didn't do.
Did you ball it up and eat it? You ripped it up,
bro. I think either one worked. I just remember eating it and then getting my ass whooped over it, and then yeah, I got my ass whooped again because he was like, and you lied. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. Bro. Yeah, people don't understand how crucial them progress report days were.
Yeah, bro.
Because like they would say, and last period. You're gonna get your, you know how I was at reading high.
Fuck, bro.
Like, fuck,
that was,
dog,
the most stressful moments of our lives.
And then when
you wait all day to get that shit, then you're like, fuck. On the bus ride home, you're just like, fuck.
What lie am I gonna tell? How am I gonna get myself out of this shit?
Yeah, you said you'd be like, yeah, we didn't get ours today.
Yeah, like, or we didn't get ours today. Like, but it's just like I hers. It's like,
fuck. You see,
for my school, it was different. We didn't have the progress report. We were already like in 2025 and shit. So like,
they sent it on the computer.
Yeah.
Oh,
so my mom,
fuck.
My mom had to log in. So whenever she felt like it, she would just log in and see how I was doing.
Oh shit.
Oh no, we had something like the ESIS. We had ESIS.
Oh yeah, we did start having that shit.
Oh,
it was like,
man.
It wouldn't be your official progress. It would be like showing you where you are at the moment.
At the moment.
Anytime your mom or your dad could like sign in and be like, okay, what's up with this 65? Like, what the fuck is this? Or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
that shit was,
they just sent that shit straight to your fucking parents.
There was no lying, bro. She could just log in whenever she felt like it.
But yeah, there was a period of time where we didn't have that and we were eternally grateful. We
could just
finesse and be like, man, we get ours next
the
week.
The time when I didn't have that was the time when I was an A student, and that was back in like middle school, elementary, whatever.
I was feeling in, nigga. Like, I was like AB honor roll from like what, pre-K to like maybe fourth grade.
Yeah.
And then that shit stopped like in fifth grade.
For me too. Mine stopped when I got to middle school. I remember getting my first C in middle school.
And you thought that shit was a big deal,
bro,
huh? Until you got that 49.
I think I cried. When I was like, fuck, bro.
Bro, I remember like fourth grade, I always see white kids like fucking cry and shit because they didn't get a 95. I only got a 91. What the fuck?
I would always
those fucking privileged
those
motherfuckers. I hate
it,
them.
Yo, it wasn't just like, well, for us, we didn't have no white people at our school. But I remember there were like people that would get like straight A's and shit.
If we did, they were in group homes.
Damn, that ain't funny, but it is kind of funny. And it's true.
It's true.
But yeah. So like, there would be them fucking valedictorian aspiring ass students. I'd be like, how the fuck did I get a 90 fucking 8 when I'm supposed to have 100? What the fuck?
You
is
ungrateful
this?
Motherfucker.
I'm like, you bitch. Like, I have to go home and explain this 73 fucking parents, and I'm just happy to have that. Like,
bro,
fuck you.
Okay. Last thing about this, and we can move on. I was in fifth grade.
Yeah,
and it was social studies, right? Right. And in hindsight, I didn't know how fine she was at the time. Like, I knew at fifth grade, but it's like,
oh, never mind.
No, we didn't go to the same elementary school.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about.
I went to Shadow Rock. Shout out to Shadow Rock.
Name drop.
Shout out to Shadow Rock. I was in fifth grade, and it was a teacher named Miss Lacey, right? Fine as hell. And like, bro, I had got like a 54. I had a 54 in that class. I'm not just talking about like high 60s film. I'm talking about, nigga, I'm failing, bro.
You're deep in that.
Yeah. So like, and it was the day, like, I think my aunt's birthday was that day.
Oh,
and
damn.
She, this is another aunt who, she had passed a long time ago, and it was her birthday that same day. And I had told like some lie about the progress report. And then, like, when my parents found out, oh no, I have forged somebody's signature.
Damn, yeah, nigga, I did at that. What age? At like 10?
11. 11, bro. Listen, I have four somebody's signature and some shit. Because you remember sometimes they have to give you an assignment. Go get the sign. But yeah. I used to hate that shit.
Yeah, they used to be like, get your mom to sign this so they know you fucked up.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bitch, why are you trying to like incriminate me, man? Like, you know what I'm saying? So that was terrible because Damn. Not only because I felt bad because it was my aunt has been deceased now for about 15 years and she was deceased at the time and it was her birthday that same day.
All that happened on that same day
where it came out that I had lied and had forged this. And then like it was a phone call home. It was like all that shit. And then so like
damn,
that was a bad day, bro. It was all behind of a grade that I could have had much better. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I could have had a much better grade.
I thought you were saying like she was alive and like
no,
it was
she
her
had
birthday.
At that point she had been deceased for about six years at that
point. So it was just a bad day.
Yeah, like it was
so everybody's upset about that and then you're like and I'm fucking failing and
forging, yeah it was all that
forging signatures
it was like all that, bro. That was it. Like it's certain moments that. Related to Parkway Reports in my childhood that I'll never forget. Like oh my gosh, that shit sucked.
Yeah, I fucking bet.
We had a whole impromptu Parkway Reports segment, but I hope y'all appreciate that shit.
Yeah.
that's real shit.
Oh, all right, man.
So we have my show
PTSD.
We got my show and tell, then we're going to transition to something special. Okay, so are YouTube rappers and producers actually becoming legit? Let's talk about it.
Okay. YouTube rappers?
Yeah.
There's a whole section called YouTube rappers?
Oh, you don't know about the YouTube rappers, dog?
Yeah, bro,
Give me an example.
Okay, so we got fucking... All right, so first of all, we have Rice Gum going platinum on iTunes.
Okay,
let's talk about that.
Okay, well, no, see, he's okay. Okay,
but please film me.
I'm not even. He's not a real YouTube. Well, he's not a real rapper. He's the definition of a YouTube rapper.
So he doesn't care about rap.
We're talking about like people. Okay. Well, I'm talking about. I'd be repping for the people that be like rapping like Dax and fucking.
Yeah, I was finna get
Pontiac
into that.
And Quad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. So. Even with Dax, we even see him. He's even doing the whole rap
transitioning.
He's transitioning. Yeah. He got into a whole beef recently.
He's already in beef with like Tory Lanez. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's glowing up now.
He wants that beef because Tory Lanez is, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's fucked up.
Say sorry,
that situation was fucked up, man. I feel for Dax on that one, man.
Is that the one where he got jumped behind some shit?
Yeah, and then it like Tory Lanez.
Oh, yeah, that shit was whack. That shit was whack as fuck. Yeah, I remember you telling us about that. That shit was whack as fuck.
Yeah.
And as far as other YouTube rappers, we got B-Lou actually getting,
B-Lou, he's actually
getting placements and shit.
Yeah. He's on Quad Eka's project too.
Yeah, so are YouTube rappers actually becoming legit now?
So let's talk about that fucking Rice Gum and them niggas situation.
Okay, yeah. So we got those type of YouTube rappers.
Those are the people that when most people think YouTube rapper that aren't like us, that don't like listen to YouTube rappers and shit, who they think of. Rice Gum, Jake Paul, Logan Paul and them niggas that are like getting more streams than Kendrick, but they're making the wackest songs you've ever heard.
Oh my gosh. What has happened to rap? Oh my fucking God.
These niggas are giving... rap a bad name. Don't focus on them. Those niggas are trash. They just have a fan base of like 2 year olds that steal their parents' credit cards and go and fucking buy the fucking album just because they think that Rice Gum's funny.
Goddamn.
2 year olds.
The smartest 2 year olds.
Yes, bro. I'm telling you, bro. That's their fucking fan base, and they're making like these offbeat, whack ass songs.
Except I'm on Beverly Hills.
And like they obviously like don't care about rapping. They just fucking rapping for the hell of it. Although I will say, like, remember when KSI and Logan Paul had that boxing match?
Yeah.
Logan Paul actually released a diss track on KSI that I thought was actually pretty good. But besides that, besides all that, they just making these trash ass songs and that shit is crazy, bro. Like just profiting off rap, making horrible ass songs and just
buy
like
my merch, guys,
going platinum. Like that's the type of shit with like if you're in the car and like, oh, play that song that went platinum that you made. I would be embarrassed as fuck to put that shit on if I'm fucking Jake Paul and shit or fucking Rice Gum. But they probably don't give a fuck. They're just doing it just for the money, bro. Which like
full disclosure, I am not. It seems to be good that I'm not familiar with them like that because y'all are, you know what I'm saying? They seem like I've heard of Jake Paul and like the motherfuckers, like, but I thought they were hated for a different reason.
They are, we're rap heads, so
yeah, we're
we're mad at that.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Like, so get into like the legitimate ones.
It's not even their fault. Okay. It's like the fault of like just how everything's set up nowadays.
You don't have to care about shit.
Yeah,
but, so. As far as the legit ones.
Yes.
The ones that actually try to like.
The ones that care about rap, the craft, yes.
So, yeah, what was your question? Are they becoming legit?
Yeah, are they actually legit artists now?
I think that, and we'll get into this more when we do the review, with artists like Quadeca and Dax making mm-hmm. projects, releasing them, actually getting features and mention on major platforms and shit.
And don't forget Scar-Lord, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Scar-Lord. They're like literally paving the way for the, it's like how mm-hmm. it was the SoundCloud rapper. Now mm-hmm. it's going to be the YouTube rapper. They're like paving the way for like, oh, you're going to take us seriously. Like we're actually trying to make music, which is a smart thing to do. They already had these fan bases based off their YouTube subscribers and they like making music. And so now they're like actually putting their, these are the people that's like what they wanted to do first was make music.
Mm-hmm.
Then they just so happened to have a fan base off some other shit.
Yeah.
And so then they just combine the two. And now they're, instead of making YouTube diss tracks and shit, all them corny ass diss tracks that are just for views. They're
just making legit songs. Like they're just literally talking about
themselves. Let's not forget how your boy Windows was a producer from YouTube mm-hmm. that, you know, was actually on the Ski Mask project. He makes mm-hmm. a whole bunch of Ski Mask beats. So with all this whole wave of like the tight beats producer, the people like Namir song was a tight mm-hmm. beat song. Ski Mask has been using them. Like they're finna start getting some notability. Like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Cash Money AP. He's also a YouTube producer, but now he moved from being a YouTube producer to like working with Uzi mm-hmm. and fucking Drake and maybe.
And you know, so
then, they are becoming legit. Then if that's the case, then I would say yes.
Yeah. It's just the only thing is like there's not enough headrunners yet for the YouTube rapper wave anyway, but they're finna start coming up.
Like, so is that a label that they want or is that a label that they're trying to shed?
They're like, they be saying, I'm not a YouTube rapper. I'm a fucking real rapper. But like, you know what I'm saying? They're essentially both. Like, I don't consider them like, oh, they're kind of changing the narrative of the title.
Yeah.
Because when you used to be like, oh, he's just a YouTube rapper, it's like something negative sounding where it's like, you're
limited to YouTube.
Yeah, you make diss tracks and they think of like the Rice Gum songs and shit like that. But like, these are people that are from YouTube and rappers. So it's like, I would embrace that shit. Embrace YouTube rapper and fucking use some clever wordplay with that. Like, that's fine. Like, you'd be like, okay, and I'm making good shit, making better shit than these mainstream niggas.
Yeah. So niggas like Quadeca and Dax, they're separating the line from people with a YouTube channel that make rap content for that channel
mm-hmm.
and YouTube niggas that actually like want to rap.
Yeah.
You're going to start to see people that start off as YouTube blowing up off like from their channels and being like the better the music gets. You know what I'm saying? Because like you can tell between the people that are like always have been passionate about music versus the people that are just like, shit, I might as well go ahead and try my hand at a rap career now that I got this fame. Like, you know?
You know what I'm saying? And it's like it could be another leg for an independent artist to stand on.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like it gives you more incentive to not sign in some cases if you already got a loyal fan base and we know that's the wave right now. You feel me? And it's like rappers are already labeled within itself, but then like it seems like we have all these labels that come before the label being a rapper. It's like SoundCloud rapper, Mumble rapper, YouTube rapper. Mm-hmm. It's like all of these, it's a double label. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, I didn't even know that was considered like a whole section of motherfuckers.
Hey, people should be happy about that though. It's just another way to get on.
Yeah.
What you mean? Like,
if you care, I will say that. If you care about rap,
if you're just good music
out here for views, then I ain't fucking with you.
Yeah. So one of these YouTube rappers that we're finna talk about is Quadeca. He just dropped, it's not his debut album, but it's his first album
in the light, or like people like kind of know him.
Yeah. His first album where he's had some notoriety surrounding it.
Yeah. So y'all want to transition into that?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let's get into it. Quadeca voice memos. 2019 album review.
Yeah, man. So I was looking forward to this because, first let's talk about how we discovered him. Mm-hmm. I discovered him like a little over a year ago off of those types of rap
type
videos,
like
20 Styles of Rap. He was doing them like so perfectly and he was mixing them so perfectly that I was like, damn, bro, I know he can actually like spit them.
Yeah, yeah. So if I'm remembering it correctly, I think you put me onto him with that first, I'm not sure.
I don't know, we
may have discovered the same type of video, right?
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh yeah, I've seen those or whatever. They're funny, they're good or whatever. And then I was like, let me actually check out this nigga's music.
That's how it was.
I would see little suggested shit. It was like, oh, Quadeca music. And this mm-hmm. was like, you know, whenever he first started doing those little types of rap videos.
Yeah.
So a while ago. And like, I was like, hold up, man. His music is actually like good.
Yeah.
I was like, people are sleeping on Quadeca, right? And so Yeah, I started like listening, going to his SoundCloud, listening to some of his shit, like checking out some of his older shit. And I was like, yo, bro, dude has potential. He's pretty good. Like, you know what I'm saying? I like how he's like this like semi-lyrical when he wants to be, hype when he wants to be type dude. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like the same vein where we kind of fall into, you know? So yeah, I was like, he's good. And like, Quedec is white, by the way.
Yeah, he's literally an 18-year-old white kid. Yeah,
he was born in 2000. That should have he was born in 2000.
The reason I bring that up is because he's like, in my opinion, he's the best YouTube rapper out right now. Exactly. In my opinion, which is why I'm bringing up this white boy is outshining.
He's the most industry ready, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's the one that cares about music the most.
The most, because he's the one mixing his shit too.
And he don't be on some dumb shit. He don't be saying the N-word. He don't be doing some hooligan shit. You know what I'm saying?
He just raps about what he's himself. Like, just whatever cool. Yeah.
Just a chill, like, white rapper.
Now, on this album, which is an extension of what we were just talking about, he uses a lot of these up-tempo type of beats.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a very good switch up, I should say. Like, he has a lot of different vibes in this album, because like he has a bunch of hype tracks on here, and then he'll go
into
a really deep introspective track, like, you know what I'm saying, get you in his mind, and then he brings you into these lyrical showcases, I should say. And you know, he does all of these things like so well on this album. It just makes me question, bro. Like, wow,
this album is really better than a lot of these mainstream albums that have been coming out. Cause it's
exactly.
Like, he had an idea. He put that shit into action. He has some cohesion with it. Mm-hmm. He fucking, you know what I'm saying?
He made some of the beats on here.
Yeah, yeah. He like literally produced, like put this shit together. Yep. And it shows that he's not just like, oh, I'm just throwing out some songs. There's structure here. There's songs that reference other songs in the album. Mm-hmm. There's like a kind of like a clear storyline to a certain extent. And it's just like, bro, it's a great album from like an up and coming rapper. Plus especially like, I think his album will mark like a chapter and like, okay, time to start taking these YouTube niggas seriously.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because like, he's pulling all of these flows out of his ass in this album. And that's what we know him for.
Yeah.
He showcases that in such a great light that is just, man.
And how Quadeca has been starting to get like a lot more notability lately because of his whole beef with KSI.
Yes.
Where he... like, his diss track was better, in my opinion. Him and KSI went back and forth with the diss tracks. Now that, you know, it was kind of more so, it wasn't like a serious beef, you could tell. It was just more so, like, KSI said some shit about Quadeca. Quadeca used the opportunity. It was like, okay, bet. Finna capitalize off this nigga's name because he just was in one of the most popular events of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? And Quadeca, it's like, you can say, like, you can't really say KSI gave him that because Quadeca had to earn it by having either a better diss track or not. If he would have had a whack diss track, people probably would be like, what the fuck is this nigga? Like, get him out of here.
In fact, he dropped... actually, I'm not even going to say that. Proceed.
Yeah, but like, man, I don't know. So what I was saying was like, so he's got that notability from that. That got him to like over 1 million subscribers and he's still going up. And so now he releases this project that he's been working on for, he says, like over like a year and a half.
He hasn't dropped anything since 2017.
And besides just like some singles that also are on the album.
On the album as well.
So when we get into this album, like the structure of it is just, I think it's really nice. He starts it off with like Ego Death, which is one of my favorite songs from there because like it's like a perfect intro song. When I listened, I didn't like the beginning of it that much. Like that was just kind of neutral. The little singing part.
He was stemming that from the KSI disc. Cause he did that too.
He did that.
Where he would just like do some weird singing shit. Yeah. So like, as soon as you cut on, it's like, oh, who does YouTube nigga just singing some shit?
And then it's like the switches up. So he kind of needed that like part just so he can surprise you with the beat switches.
Exactly.
And yeah, he does a lot of switching up of flows on this album. And what another thing I really love about it is like, it's no filler. It's what we've been acting for. It's completely just what he wanted to put on here. It doesn't seem like he's just like, oh, I'm just trying to get all the streams. Let me put 80 million songs on this bitch. It's just like a clear, concise little project that you can listen through. It's different enough that you can listen through it with like being surprised and not get bored. You know what I'm saying? So, and yeah, I really like this project.
And when you give this project a deep listen, you really find out more about Quadeca as a person, because he ranges into a different. He has a whole bunch of topics that he dives into, ranging from like childhood innocence, relationships, missing exes, heartbreak, insecurity, and self-doubt in the rap game, and of course depression. So
yeah,
you kind of hear this genuine, when you look at the lyrics, you see this genuine message coming from Quadeca, but when you're listening to it sonically, you're just like, oh yeah, this is vibing. Yeah,
and then it's like, it's a perfect blend of like, or a near perfect blend of like, sounds good, saying some shit that's fi or introspective, or like, oh, okay, it made me think. So it's like, you can listen through it. If like, once you've like deciphered the lyrics, you could literally put it on just to have some like hype music on in the background, mm-hmm. or you could listen to the story. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
he does that really nice.
But the main problem for this project for me is the fact that he has so many flows, because on some of the songs were like, okay, so some of the songs he'll fucking start off with like a hype ass melody, he'll start off with a good singing melody, then he'll transition to a ski mask flow, and then he'll transition into like being lyrical, when really I just want to like just vibe out to this shit. if you're starting off hyping shit,
I like that aspect of it. I see where you're coming from though, because mm-hmm. like to a certain extent. It's like if you were playing this just as a single, you would be like getting hype and you'd be like, oh man, what the fuck? I don't want to be sad right now. Like type shit.
Right.
But it's like for me in the context of the album, it works really well.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, cause like some of the parts I'm like, oh, he didn't really need to switch it up here. Like the bridge is kind of like letting me down. But then the second half of the song is also another good song to me. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem too rushed in my opinion, because like,
I don't think this is rushed at all.
So it's like, It just, I don't know, I like the fact that he mixed it up. He's trying some new shit. He's trying some different mm-hmm. shit. He's not just going to stick to one flow. Like, he's not just going to be, you know what I'm saying? And in the songs that are more so like that are kind of like shorter, I think, except for, was Imagination short? I mean, what was the length of that song? Oh, shit.
That was, nigga said, the album's so good, I got to play it on the podcast. You motherfuckers, dog.
That one was like two,
that was like
three.
One of the only songs where like he kind of stuck to that. Like one flow throughout it, and it's still. I think that was one of the songs I didn't like as much. I mean, that was your favorite song.
That's probably my favorite song.
Favorite tracks. Let's take a aspect from our fellow people here at Dead in Hip Hop.
Favorite tracks.
Favorite tracks. Five.
What do you think about the album, by the way?
I thought it was good. You know what I'm saying? I don't really follow Quadeca like that, but I listened to the album. I thought it was good. More of the same sentiments you guys echoed. The production was experimental. I liked it. I liked the melodies on it. He actually is lyrical, and you can tell he's not trying to be anything other than himself. You feel me? So, I thought the album was good. I think it's a good overall solid project.
Yeah.
But is it better than Offset's?
Damn, that's kind of hard to compare because it's two totally different kind of albums.
Yeah, that was just a random.
Which one did you enjoy more?
Personally,
I think Offset's album probably has more replay value to me, because
it slightly does.
But slightly, hey man,
but maybe as a cohesive album, as far as like quality, this might be better than that, because like it seems like. When I listen to it, like I said, you guys are like bigger fans and like know him more intensively than I do. But like, mm-hmm. just kind of like from a new like person's perspective, mm-hmm. getting to like being introduced to him really for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a really good introduction, because, like I said, he flows, he switches up nicely and not too much. And his melodies again are just really good on this project.
Catchy.
And you know what I'm saying? I would say just the thing that caught my ear most is the production and the melodies, and his lyrics are like just a nice compliment.
And the fact that we can even compare Quadeca to Offset, one of the biggest rappers in
the world.
And
Quadeca's not even signed.
And Quadeca's 18 years old.
He's 18 years old.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Is that saying more good shit about Quadeca or more bad shit about Offset?
Good shit about Quadeca.
Yeah, I don't even think Quadeca graduated high school yet.
I don't think so either.
God damn. Yeah, like, he's already in position to be big.
That shows that this whole YouTube rapper wave is starting to be something serious, bro.
It's fucking serious.
Like, I think I watched a video where he said he's going to be on Genius or some shit, like coming up for one of the songs.
He tried to get some songs on World Star 2, but it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
But,
favorite songs?
For me, wait. Yeah. Okay. So for me, I like Ego Death.
What? Yeah. I'm on my ego death. I had to reassess. I had to resurrect. Yeah. I just wanna be the best, but I had to reassess. Is that why I'm feeling less? Yeah, my songs about pulling like yay. They think they control of my fate. Cut to the no yelling at rappers, you just an island. It's like, hey, I just put up.
Imagination, a dream I can't remember. The man on my left shoulder, War, unusual eyes, and these days. Those are all the ones I liked.
And a note about, the man on my left shoulder. I watched his video and he said he thinks that that's the best song he's ever made. You were close, now you're further than the old days. Sometimes I wonder why I'm headed towards a cold place. Be like, let me fix you. I don't fuck with Coldplay. Yeah, wish I could forget. I cannot forgive. Yeah, every step I gotta relive. Yeah, take a breath. Feel it in my ribs. Yeah, let my voice fit into the mix.
Okay.
Because that's really the song where like he's literally talking about literally
everything.
Every topic that I mentioned, he's literally talking about the childhood innocence, the relationship stuff, the insecurity in the rap game.
Yeah. I'll give it to, okay, so my two, you did 5.
He did however many. It don't matter. However many. Just
Ego Death, because that shit is fun. These Days is my favorite song on the album. That shit just pulls everything together so nicely. Real Thing. That shit was hype. And I'm gonna, crap, who am I gonna, what am I gonna do for the last one?
War's
probably Thank You Next. That shit is fun.
Okay, we need to fucking talk about
that. I like the fact that he titled it that too.
Yeah.
Cause we know where he got that from.
Well, actually.
And I like Eyes. Yeah.
Actually, I don't even think he got Thank You Next from Ariana. I mean,
he knows it's going to be correlated to that.
According to Genius, I'm going to just say that. According to Genius, he wrote that song before Thank You Next was even a thing.
Well, he just got lucky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he knew that when he released it now, he knew it was going to be like a thing.
Yeah.
But like, even though those are like more to highlight for me, there's not really any songs. There's no like bad songs on here that you'd be like, oh, this is trash. There are some that stand high and there are some that are kind of low that I'm like, this is okay song. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that unusual song, it grew on me a little bit more, but even when that song was just a single, like, I didn't really like it that much. I was like, it was kind of just.
So wait, what are your favorite songs again?
Oh crap. Ego Death, Thank You Next, Real Thing, Eyes, and These Days. Those are probably my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. My favorites, are Imagination, The Man on My Left Shoulder, War, In These Days.
Okay, you and I, we need to fucking talk about track 4 before we get out of here. So,
Thank You Next.
Yes,
crap. I think that's the song where I'm just gonna mention this lyric that I was talking about earlier. That shit was fi. That stood out to me. Gosh. Where it says, "Roll on your block like some Campbells." Do y'all get it?
Was that what you told us earlier?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were talking about another line.
No. Do you get it?
Wait, say it again.
He said, "I'll roll on your block like some Campbells."
Because Campbell's.
You don't remember that commercial where there was like that can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup that rolled all the way to the person's door?
Okay, that's a nostalgic.
Roll on your block like some Campbell's.
That's a nostalgic.
Now it makes sense.
I was like, chicken noodle soup doesn't roll? Like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about? And then I was like, oh shit, that commercial.
Yeah.
That shit was fire. Like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Wait, like, it's just a.
That's in a.
Alphabet like FBI, CIA.
What?
What'd
you say?
It could also mean like FBI, CIA.
Oh, yeah. It could also mean like rolling your block like FBI, you know what I'm saying? CIA. Like double meanings in this bitch.
EA, all that.
Yeah.
If he meant that he's on another level already.
he probably did, because he was talking about it. He was saying that like there's multiple interpretations to the album and the tracks and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that shit was just fire. Like that was just, I don't know. That's just the one bar I wanted to bring up because I was like, huh? And then I remember that commercial. I was like, oh shit, that shit is fire.
Wow. Okay. So for that Thank You Next track, The beat was hard as fuck. It's just I did not like at all the way he came on that shit. She was corny as fuck to me.
That shit was fire as fuck.
She was corny as fuck to me.
These niggas are going to debate whether it was corny or whether it was fire.
How you going to have a beat how you going to have a beat that bangs that hard and that empty, but you're just going to come on there corny and shit?
Bro, he came on there like he didn't give a fuck. And that's the part that was funny. What was the first line of that song?
He was like, guess who took your bitch?
No, that was the second line. But yeah, that line was fire. It was like, who just took... Oh, yeah, he said...
None of my shit fucking match. I'm still the best dressed.
Huh?
Who just fucked my bitch? Take your best guess.
That shit was fun.
That shit was corny to me, bro.
That shit was fire, bro.
And then the feature didn't make it any better either. And the
feature was okay.
The way the beat came in, he was trying to do too much. Anyway, I give this a week 7.
And then, but what I'll say about the features is none of the features outshined him, which is good.
That's good.
There are literally like features that just kind of like, okay, put him in here to compliment, give myself a little stretching time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that says a lot about him as well. Cause they're none of the song, like my favorite songs are the ones where he, well, my like top favorite songs are the ones where he's just by himself fucking around experimenting. Yeah. You give it a week 7. Mm-hmm. I give it 7.5. Yeah. 7.5. And I'm still listening to it. So we'll see if it goes.
Yeah.
Up
this
or
is,
down.
This is still fresh. It only came out a week ago.
So this all of this is still tentative.
Yeah. Because you guys remember at first I was like, it's a 7, but listening to it more, I was like, okay, that's going up a half point. Cause I was like, okay, I'm starting to like, you know, like certain songs.
I'll give
more.
A project a solid 7.
Okay. And that's from somebody who never heard a Quadeca song before.
I had heard of him, just I had never heard a full project from him.
Yeah.
So I give it a solid 7 because I do think that he brought a lot of his, just he added his flavor to it. And that's one of the biggest things I think artists need to realize. Just make be unique, like really accentuate what makes you.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So I think it's too many motherfuckers out here sounding the same. So I appreciated that. So I'll give the project a 7.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Big facts.
All right. Let's promote our socials again, though.
That's going to do it for us. You can follow me, Huey Revolution, on everything at Huey Revolution.
It's your boy Nemo. You can follow me on everything at Nemo the Zeus, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Yeah.
You can follow me on Instagram at King Ramil. That's King RAHMIL. Appreciate you guys. See you next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, one last thing. And follow.
Goddamn, nigga, you fucked up my clothes, bro.
Nigga, hold up, nigga. I'm trying to put this on. And follow us on our YouTube channel at Low Mid. And now you can go ahead and close out again.
Dang, now you got to close it out.
No.
You got to close it out,
bro,
now.
Bro, you close it out.
You got to close it out, dog.
Think of me. You close out. Fine, I'll close it out.
We out, bitch.
Right. Fuck you mean.